All right, Pierre LeBrun, our Hockey Insider, will join us here. We got some Mike McCarthy audio from yesterday. We'll address, and we'll make sure that he addresses, and maybe we'll apply it to the Maple Leafs, because there's a lot of connections between the Cowboys and the Maple Leafs. And Luke Wilson will join us later in the hour as well. We'll look ahead to the divisional round with him. I just had a moment upstairs. This is kind of stuff you see out of a movie. I stepped on a Lego piece, and
that hurts.
It hurt. It hurt. It was right in the middle
of the kitchen
some reason. Yeah, I don't like what's it doing there. I don't know. But all my girls are all the way upstairs, so like the lights were off. I go on, I turn the light on, and boom, step on a Lego piece. So that was fun.
Nope.
Snapping. Just trying to keep my composure here as we move into the final hour, because I'm jacked for Wordle After Dark. Speaking of being in the dark, Wordle After Dark, new game show established on this show no more than half an hour ago.
And I think it's got some steam, and it could be a weekly thing. Maybe bi-weekly, never know. But you see Twitter, you see social media, that Wordle is popping up everywhere.
It's not getting a lot of love.
Yep. You guys, but we'll see what the reaction is.
I think you're a closet Wordle guy. I wouldn't be shocked if you've been leading the charge from behind the scenes at all. I wouldn't be surprised.
Look, man, I don't ever judge. Like, people that are interested. I'm 45 years old now. Like, positive 2022. I respect the fact that people do different things. I like to tee it. I like
cuddle with your cat. That's your.
That's right. And some people like to do Wordle. That's great. But it's just incredible how you have to announce to the world your score.
But how are you teeing it? You're not teeing it right now anyway. So you keep saying I like to go to my club and chip and putt. That's out of your control at this point. So what are you doing with your time when it's not between 4 and 7 p.m.?
I'm very busy, actually, with personal stuff.
And I don't think you are.
Cramerica Industries.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Cramerica Industries. What exactly are you doing?
I don't need to. It's not my business to tell you my business. I've told you before about personal affairs. Today, right. I had groceries. I had to see somebody about some suits and stuff. I had to go to the mall and get a hoodie.
Okay.
I got some other stuff that I'd rather not talk about on this show, but it's like I'm busy.
Yeah. I got a buddy who is the busiest guy who does nothing. Like, he's retired. He sold his company at a young age, and every time you talk to him, he's just so busy. You're like, guy doesn't work. Like, just so busy, but he does nothing.
Nothing. You know? But fills out an itinerary.
Fills
a
day.
It checks out. Which is important. I do think that's important. I mean, I have noticed, you know, we're all in this haze and whatever. I don't know if we're in a lockdown or not. Technically, we're not. You know, it's not the same as the first one or whatever. But just, you know, time, you lose sight of time. And every day kind of feels the same. And it's like a Stockholm syndrome almost. Like, it's been so long, it doesn't feel like it's been as long as it has been, if that makes sense. Because you just get caught in this kind of rhythm of sitting around a house and, like, our house is in shambles at times, and yet we're here all the time. Like, you would think, because we're here, stay on top of things.
Exactly.
No but way. It's the opposite. Because we're here so much with the kids, you can't keep on top of it because you're moving from one room to the next, and then we're going downstairs and upstairs, and I want a movie and a snack, and it's like, all right, next thing you know, it's 3 o'clock. I'm like, I'm going downstairs. I got to work.
Right.
You know, what are you going to do?
And it's a mess. And then you clean it up at night, and you do it all again.
Do it all again.
The next day.
Stand, you know, step on a Lego piece.
Yes.
All right, so we've been playing the Sheldon Keefe audio from the postgame last night. This was Mike McCarthy yesterday, okay? And the parallels have been drawn between the Leafs and the Cowboys, more so in terms of what they represent. The number one team in the league in terms of popularity, in terms of buzz, in terms of being polarizing. There's no gray area. Right? The Cowboys aren't someone's second or third favorite team. The Leafs aren't someone's second or third favorite team. You either love the Leafs and the Cowboys or you hate the Leafs and the Cowboys. Like, it's the Yankees are the third team, I think, in North American sport that apply there. It's those three. You either love them or you hate them, and they get more buzz and more talk than anyone else, and everyone else hates it for it, but it's just a reality. That's why they get the ratings. That's why they play the primetime games, because they're buzzworthy. Yet, the Cowboys choke out in the playoffs. The Raptors have had the same, or the Leafs have had the same history in recent years. This was what Mike McCarthy had to say about what kind of vibe he was picking up on before the game over the weekend.
Thought we were nervous to start the game. Felt it in the locker room at the team prayer, but I thought we fought through that okay.
So, thought they were nervous before the game. And he did walk that back. He said, actually, yeah, let me rephrase that and called it, I think he said angst, which is effectively the same thing. Although angst is a pretty good word.
Right.
But nervous before the game. Nervous before the game.
But the team with championship aspirations, you don't think, I'm actually shocked he would even admit that.
Like, that's a bad sign, isn't it?
Yeah, and the other one that he did, I think he had a comment which absolutely drove the fan base insane, is when he said the discipline and the penalties.
Yeah, we'll work on that next year. We'll get to the bottom of it. But nervous.
Just fire the guy and get rid of it and stop being stupid. Just do it.
Yeah, Jones isn't going to do it because Jerry Jones needs someone else to be the whipping boy. That's why what's-his-name was down there forever. Jason. What's his name?
Redhead. Jason.
Yeah.
The clapper.
Yeah.
The clapper and the spitter.
The clapper was down there forever because then it becomes Jerry Jones's problem. Here's Jason Garrett. That's his name.
Garrett, yeah.
Here's Pierre LeBrun, our Hockey Insider. Do you want to see McCarthy return next year or what?
I've got a call with Jerry Jones scheduled for later in the week, so okay. I have to keep that to myself for now.
All right. What about him saying that your team was nervous before the game? That's got to make you puke.
I got to stress because people listening sometimes, I can tell it happens to you guys. For everyone listening, I'm kidding. I do not have a call like that. Although I did meet him once outside a restaurant in California.
Okay.
What were we asking again?
Well, Mike McCarthy, is he your boy? He's your guy? You like Mike or what?
I would like Sean Payton to be that coach of the Dallas Cowboys, but my team let him go years ago.
Right.
So what can I do? He was the young offensive coordinator of the Cowboys when Bill Parcells was head coach, and the second they let him go, I was like, we're going to regret that.
How about the Washington photo that's going around? Are you seeing this recently when McVay, Shanahan, and LaFleur were all
You know
the
what?
Staff
that's great,
together?
Hayes. And everybody puts those coaches on a pedestal, and they might be bright football minds, and they might have innovative ideas, and they might be analytical in their approach, and they might draw cartoons in their office, who knows. But until they have the ultimate success and they're like – turn teams into a dynasty and win championship after championship, all they are right now is just young, innovative coaches. God, they get so much praise. It's like Aaron Rodgers said, you shake the hand of Sean McVay and all of a sudden you're a genius. It's like they get so much hype. It's incredible.
Well, yeah. Three of them outside of, like, Shanahan's been to a Super Bowl, McVay's been to a Super Bowl. They didn't win. They didn't close. LaFleur's been to a back-to-back championship games. I think he's going to do it again this year.
And Shanahan was brilliant last week. And you guys could tell in my voice last week, I was really concerned about that matchup, and in large part because of him. And they had a perfect game plan. I mean, they got a little hairy at the end, and they were hanging on a bit. But but they had a perfect game plan. They completely outcoached my team. They're a team. I told you guys before the season started, I had San Fran Buffalo in the Super Bowl in August. And who knows? For a while there, I thought I was an idiot, but now it's back
it's
on.
It's alive
now. Potentially. Yeah.
Yeah, it's absolutely alive. With Pierre LeBrun, our TSN Hockey Insider. So we were talking.
You wouldn't know so far.
Yeah. Well, that's what I want to get to right here for you, buddy. That Nazem Kadri is a UFA at the end of the year. What a platform year that he is having. Cool. He's making 4.5. It was a 6-year deal. It was a great deal by Lamoriello and the Leafs. And it expires. He had a goal and an assist last night. That's 15 on the year. He's top 5 in the league in points, going to the All-Star game. How's this going to work out for Nazem?
Yeah, I don't know that he can get paid in Colorado. He could stay in Colorado if he takes a team friendly, but I don't know if he can get paid what he's worth in Colorado, which is what I'm going to say for a lot of Colorado guys over the next couple of years. Mm-hmm. You know, Nathan MacKinnon will get paid if he stays. He won't get paid as much as if he leaves. I mean, they're starting to get in a situation where they're trying to shoehorn everything in there with that juggernaut in Colorado. So that's the reality for Kadri. He knows that. I would also say that, like a lot of other players, not just him, but his playoff performance will be huge too. But I don't know that the Avalanche are in a position now where they want to start looking at these situations. They're all in for the cup this year. And then they'll deal with their free agents after the year. I mean, they'll have a big decision to make in goal again, right?
Yep.
With Darcy Kuemper up, and
they might have a decision to make soon if their goaltender like keeps doing weird things. Pierre, wouldn't they be a little nervous about that?
I mean, listen, no roster is perfect for sure, and that's where you still wonder with them. But Noodles would know better than me. I think before he had a got hit in the head the other night. Kemper had started to turn a corner. I think the Avs felt a little steadier of late. But it's still, I mean, you know, they don't have Andrei Vasilevskiy in goal, that's for sure. You know, and at the end of the day, it's funny, though, because I guess it's one of those things you never know, but they went so late in the day on the first day of free agency trying to re-sign Philip Grubauer. Do you guys remember the whole Domino's thing that day? It was wild.
Yeah.
I mean, they went at least 7 or 8 hours into free agency trying to keep their guy, but while they were trying to keep him, they were losing out on other guys. I can tell you right now, their plan B wasn't Darcy Kemper. Their plan B heading into free agency was Freddie Anderson. And the problem is Freddie Anderson can't sit there for 8 hours. So he had to know as soon as the bell rung that day that if Colorado wasn't ready to sign him, he went to his plan B, which was pretty darn good, by the way, Carolina Hurricanes. But the whole domino thing ends up with Colorado striking out on keeping Grubauer, missing out on Anderson, missing out on, another goalie, and then really forced into doing something they have not done a lot under this regime. They've been an excellent regime. They've done a lot of smart deals. They overpaid for Darcy Kemper because they had no choice at that point. I mean, they traded a first, and I think, memory serves, was it Connor Timmins?
Yeah, the defense. Yeah, Timmins, yep.
For a year of Darcy Kemper, maybe more if they sign him, but my point is, we'll go back and look at that whole sequence of events if the Avs don't get over the hump.
And he's a, you know, the trust issue with Kemper is about health. And although Pavel Francouz, calls him Freddie Frances, has played the last couple games, he's been pretty good. He came
got
in
a
against
shutout last night.
Yeah,
he was did. Good last night.
He played well last night. He's now healthy and giving them some stability on the backup position. But I still think they need somebody else at the deadline in case Kemper's not available to them through health or inconsistencies. So that I'm quite certain that Joe Sakic will do something at the deadline to add to the depth of that position for sure.
Well, I think we're all thinking the same name, right? It's a pending UFA who just won the Vezina Trophy.
Yeah, the Flower.
Marc-Andre Fleury. I mean, he's got control, though, doesn't he, Pierre? In terms of no trade, no move?
Yeah, and in fact, Greg talks about him on Insider Trading, which is airing any minute here on SportsCenter. And, you know, bottom line is with Fleury, I'm going to write about this a bit tomorrow, too, is that he has a partial no trade, Brian. But there's a sense that when he got traded from Vegas to Chicago last year, it wasn't the automatic, I'm going to Chicago.
Right.
And I think part of those conversations, as far as I can tell, was, you know, we know you're on an expiring deal and we're going to treat you right if, you know, if we're out of it next year at the deadline. So I don't think Fleury goes anywhere unless he wants to go somewhere, is my sense of it.
Well, yeah. I mean, obviously that's up to him, but that's the guy you got to believe teams would be calling on. Like the Carey Price conversation feels like it's over. For this year,
right.
Isn't it? Like if
this year, yeah.
Yeah, that's
I think it's
summer.
An off-season discussion. Now, I will say this. I keep reminding myself of this, and therefore others around me. The trade deadline is in 2 months. It's in 2 months. Like usually we're getting closer to the Super Bowl in football, and trade deadline's right around the corner. March 21st, guys. So my point is a lot is going to change and some of the things that we think we've lined up for every contender, like they need that, they need this. 8 weeks of hockey and a jam-packed schedule with the revamped NHL schedule. I'm telling you right now, we're going to reframe a lot of narratives between now and March 21st.
Totally agree.
I agree. I was thinking about that last night. You know, I was asked the question, like, do the Leafs need you know, a top four defenseman, would that be on Kyle Dubas's wish list? And I was thinking, well, you know, it's 2 months away. Like, obviously, you have a wish list, but, you know, the condensed schedule, and you're starting to see it trickle out, obviously. I was looking at it today. Like, there are some teams that are going to be pissed about, you know, playing 5 games and 8 nights in a bunch of different cities and a bunch more back-to-backs than you anticipated. Like, there's going to be injuries,
inconsistencies. There's going to be teams that are looking to, probably thinking to upgrade or be buyers that are going to completely crap the bed and be out of it.
Correct. Totally. That's what I'm saying. Is we're getting, and listen, we're doing insider trading, so we're as guilty as anyone. I'm just saying we're getting into this whole thing before normal. Like, really, this is really like pre-Christmas in a normal NHL calendar, except that our calendar in real life is saying January 20th because the NHL season is a month late. So we're just like, I talked to a GM today. He says he can't get anything going with anyone because they're all like, we got to give us another month and then we'll get back to you. So there's a bit of that going on. But as far as at least needing a defenseman, I'm not making light of it, but can I just say that in the 27 years I've been here in Toronto covering the NHL, I think that's been said every year.
Probably. Yeah.
Come on.
And what's consistent over the last 17, though, Pierre? They haven't won a playoff round. So maybe that's why it keeps coming up. And, like, we've had some spirited conversation today about what Sheldon Keefe had to say postgame. Mm-hmm. And who that was directed at? Was it specific to the second and third pairing who got exposed, but they're young? Or was that more of a, you know, shot at the big boys about what's coming and blowing leads? What's your general read on trying to interpret Sheldon Keefe and his commentary?
That was meant to get the attention of his room for sure, because now it's happened a few times. And first couple of times, it's like, hey, they played a great game in Colorado. The result's the result. They played all right in St. Louis, and they end up winning that one. But I think he's trying to get ahead of something. I got to be honest. I mean, there are so few times in this Leafs season where you feel like you need to even have this discussion. They've been fantastic. But, you know, trying to keep your foot on the pedal from A to Z before you get to the playoffs in this type of season is going to be difficult. And, you know, Tampa got whacked 7-1 by Florida a couple of weeks ago. It's okay. I know that, you know, we do radio, you know, Leafs Twitter is dominant, all that stuff. I think we're making a lot of not much here. I'm not too concerned.
No, I don't think anyone should be concerned about them punching a ticket, go to the playoffs. Like, I don't think they're one of the teams we're discussing here that in 2 months is going to have, you know, going to be a seller at the trade deadline. You know, I think there's always two separate conversations, the game itself, the moment itself, and then the overarching commentary about this team, which is their own reputation. You know what I mean? Like, you can't spin it any other way. They're the team that hasn't won in the playoffs, so they got to own that, just like your Cowboys. Well, you know, it's the
same
thing.
I was just going to say, we started this hit, and I got a lot of that Sunday when I was literally soul-crushed once again.
Right.
And,
so you can relate. You know what's
and, up. And the two franchises have a lot of parallels, unfortunately. They are beloved. They are hated and beloved. Mm-hmm. They have huge followings. You know, it's interesting, Kent Hughes yesterday, when his name GM, said Bill Guerin phoned him and said, dude, how are you not taking the job? It's the Yankees of hockey and the Dallas Cowboys of hockey. I said, well, no, the Dallas Cowboys of hockey is another team. But, until you can prove it, you know, until you're Dak Prescott and the Cowboys and you go deep in the playoffs, and until you're Marner, Matthews, and the Leafs of this era, I don't care about 17 years ago, but their team over the last few years.
Yep.
Until they do it, it's hard as a Leafs fan to say that's unfair. I mean, it is what it is.
That's right. Yep, that's right. And, you know, they've used some bullets in the past. You know, we had, like, if they run into a very good team, and Mike Johnson was on last hour, and Johnny brought up a very valid point. Let's say you play Tampa. Tampa's better. If Tampa beats you, okay. But that card was used when they played Washington 5 years ago. And the year after that against Boston. But when you lose to the Habs and you lose to Columbus, then you can't just keep saying, well, better team, better team, better team. At some point, you just got to prove it. You got to break through. And,
I
winning at the Garden last night wouldn't have changed that.
Yeah. I actually think they will break through this year, but like you just said, Brian, of all the years, the way it's shaping up, you're going through either Florida team or maybe even a resurgent Boston. Again, lots of hockey to be played. We're not even halfway through the year. No matter how it looks, no matter how you think the standings will play out in the Atlantic, you're getting either Florida, Tampa, or Boston in the first round.
Right.
Tough, and you may or may not be at home. So it's a huge task. But to your point, I don't want to hear what was me in terms of, well, of course this is the year the Atlantic's the best division. You had Columbus in the bubble. You had Montreal. Yeah, I know, Carey Price, and he did Carey Price things, but it doesn't matter. I mean, if there were ever times to get over the hump, it was the two previous playoffs for sure.
Right.
So do it now. Do it the harder way, and that'll be awesome.
That's
be great
exactly
for the Leafs to make that point.
No one will want to see that more than me, and I can speak for everyone in the city. And we're hopefully that's where it's chugging towards. But as you've said multiple times this chat, still a long ways to go before we get there. Quickly, before we get you out of here, all eyes would be on Edmonton tonight. What do you sense is the mood? You talk about nerves watching that Cowboy game. What do you think? What do you think Ken Holland's thinking walking to the rink tonight?
Yeah, it's a ton of pressure on that franchise right now. A lot of discussions internally. I dealt with this in insider trading too, but the Oilers are looking at all goalie options across the league right now. There's no great options, but there are options. But they need a win. Like it's real. And just like, you know, like it was, if the Leafs lost, you know, the amount of games that the Oilers have lost, what happens is you bring back the ghost of playoffs past and you wrap it into a little ball in that market. Well, that's what's happening in Edmonton, right? And, you know, it's Dave Tippett's in a final year of his deal. I think that's really the last thing Ken Holland wants to do. But there comes a time where you run out of options. And, again, I don't think it'll cost Dave Tippett his job at this point. But I cannot be sure that it won't. Because there's a ton of pressure on that franchise to turn this around. That's a big one tonight.
Yep.
And worst timing for them is the Panthers just had a rare blemish. And getting hammered the other night in Calgary. So they're getting a pretty hungry Florida team, too.
They'll be chippy, yep.
Yeah, well, we'll see what they got tonight. It'll be a fun one, buddy. Enjoy it. We'll do it again soon. Thank you for this.
Thanks for not being too hard on me and mocking me about the Cowboys. Thank you, guys.
It's all good. Yeah, we'd rather play the Niners up at Lambeau. Thank you. We appreciate it. It was a service to us. Thank you, Pierre.
It was.
There's Pierre LeBrun, our TSN Hockey Insider. We'll look ahead to that with Luke Wilson, his take on Mike McCarthy and the comments from yesterday, the Cowboys. And what does he see in the four games this week? Is he buying into this theory that maybe Tom Brady could retire after this season? Is that possible at all? That more coming up with Luke Wirtle after dark in about 20, 25 minutes. I hope you and the Grappler are working on this. We need
it's
good
already
one.
Ready to rock. Might be a two-pack of Wirtle after dark.
I love it. We'll get to that later this hour. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 in on TSN 2.
All right,
Luke Wilson will join us in about 5 minutes. Look ahead of the divisional round with Luke. Harry Higgs with a hole-in-one today.
Yeah.
And your boy Ricky Fowler not having a good time.
I don't know how many more times I can go back to the well and just say Rick's going to turn it around. Maybe it's game over. Dude, you know who else is going to be the world number one sooner or later? Is your guy, Rick Hovland. He's over in Europe. And he's around the leaderboard every single time he tees it.
He's so good.
He's so good.
Yeah, well, he crushes the ball. His irons are crazy. It's just everyone said wedge play and, you know, it's a short game thing. Once he dials that down, because he's jacked, he can hit the ball with anyone. And he hits it consistently. Yeah, he's a top 10 player in the world, I think. I don't know if he's technically in the top 10
all day.
Rankings, but
all day
he is. Yeah, he is. So Patrick Cantlay is currently in the lead. He's at 10 under. He's still on the course. But you've got Johnny Rahm's up there at 6 under. That's your boy this week. And it's not
Johnny Rahm's.
Rahm. Yep. There's
How are you guys doing?
Patrick Cantlay
Rahm's
just dials in a 10 under for fun.
Yeah.
Outrageous.
Finau, yeah, he was on. I don't know. It's a long list. There's a big field. It's a pretty big field. Your boy Lebiota has actually had himself a pretty good day.
The long shot.
Yeah, that's worth something, man. And Phil,
that's yours, though. Who took O's pick.
Yeah, O's pick.
Who took Tringali?
That was Hazy's long shot.
Yeah.
Okay,
because
I got that.
That was a major
up.
Benefit. Tringali's been around a while, and
he does some work. Yeah. Phil Mickelson will have his engine purring tomorrow.
Dude, I think he's the ambassador for this tournament. He missed the cut last year. He's plus 6 or 7 now. That's a tough gig when you're like kind of the guy. It's your tournament, and you go out there and start chopping it around like a 10 handicap. But I guess the sponsors don't care because you're going to start doing dinners and
he'll be there.
Sauced up. Oh yeah,
he'll be in the booth. He'll be probably in the booth at some point during the weekend. And, yeah, he's the poster boy. Out of the bunker, that crazy 15-foot bunker or whatever, that's Phil. So Anyway, yeah, Ricky Fowler, a boy, one over. Patrick Reed with his new PXG gear, he's at one under. So anyway, we'll track that throughout the weekend. We'll see what happens. Yeah, our boy Luke Wilson will join us here in a moment. I'm getting jacked up for this weekend, the games, and everyone's trying to pinpoint one team that's dealing with more pressure. And I really think you could look at a number of different cases. Like, in a weird way, you could say Tampa's dealing with pressure, even though they just won the Super Bowl last year. When you've got a quarterback who's 44 and he's still in the zone, you got to take advantage of that, right? Like, you have to keep winning because there will be a cliff in his future. He will fall off it. Brady will not consistently be one of the best three or four players in the league until he's 50 or 55 years old.
You saying the Rams smoked the Bucs?
No, I don't think so. But I think the Rams have a ton of pressure on them this weekend because they're all in on this team. They've traded so many first-round picks and assets, and they went out and got Stafford, and they're up against the cap, and, you know, they have obvious pressure. The Packers have obvious pressure because this might be the last run for Aaron Rodgers. Tennessee, this might be the best chance they ever get to win a Super Bowl. Like, you can just go down the list and you can apply pressure on almost every scenario. Buffalo, never won a Super Bowl. Got to do it at some point. Got to beat Kansas City. Pressure on them. Here's our TSN NFL analyst, Super Bowl champ, Luke Wilson. Do you think that's fair, Luke? Do you think you could apply pressure or some sort of a pressure narrative to almost every team playing this weekend?
Definitely. I mean, you can apply that narrative, but the best teams are going to go out and just not think like that, if you will. You know, the years that we went to the Super Bowl, Pete was pretty adamant on being like, listen, if you trust our abilities, if the first year we're 13-3, next year 12-4, we're the one seed both years. He was like, we got to prepare just like we've played every other game this year. You know, don't press too hard. Don't let any of that, you know, pressure kind of seep in. Because that's when you start making things out. You know, you're just little on edge. And if you're a Super Bowl team, just playing your own game will get you there, if that makes sense.
Luke, how much does the Tom Brady factor have, like, a mental screw on the opposition? Like, just seeing him get it done every time and always win in Super Bowl, and he's 45 and he continues to do it, does that screw with your psyche? Like, if you're Stafford or just the coach, like, just Tom Brady, the aura of it, does it screw with people?
Yes, but I would say this is something that really annoys me. It's annoyed me my entire career. Is it messes more with coaches than it does with players? I found that in my career, a lot of times you get these coaches and they'd stand in front of the team and they'd say this, or they'd project this message. But then when game time comes, it was like they didn't really apply the message that they gave us to themselves. And I thought one of those moments for me was actually when we played New England in the Super Bowl. It was like the most absurd preparation I think I've ever had because of Bill Belichick. And it's like whenever you played Bill, it was like, oh, Bill's this genius. We got to be ready for everything. We got to do this. We got to prepare for that. What if Bill decides to do this?
Yeah.
So for like Tom, it's opposite where it's like, you know, late in the game, let's say you have a close game going and you're Sean McVay. You know, to me, you still play by the book. You play what you've always done all year. But a lot of times you'll see coaches start to call plays in the sense of, hey, don't give Tom the ball back. We don't want the ball in Tom's hands. And you're playing a dangerous game there because you're really getting out of the, you know, the groove of what you're trying to accomplish or what you've accomplished all year.
Overthinking it.
Right.
Yes.
Well, I hate to poke at prod then. I mean, that pick on the 2-yard line, was that Belichick? Like, you were thinking Marshawn Lynch can't possibly run this in because Belichick will somehow formulate a stop? I mean,
question.
You know,
it had to be asked. It had to be.
Well, it's funny you say that, but long story short, one of the reasons for that whole situation that I was told, which I don't think anyone fully knows what went on other than maybe three people, but you know, in the NFL, the offense subs in their personnel and the defense has the ability to adjust. You know, it's pretty standard. is if you're a defensive coach, you kind of look, hey, are they going to what we would call zebra in Seattle, basically 11 personnel, three wideouts, one tight end, one running back. And then, okay, we're going to play nickel defense against that. Or if you go to more of a heavier personnel, you know, you have a fullback, running back, tight end in the game. Now, all of a sudden, you're going to go to a base personnel on defense. You just basically, most teams will match, if that makes sense. Not always, but most teams. Well, in that situation, before we had even called a player, subbed any personnel in, Matt Patricia and Bill Belichick rolled out their defensive goal line front. So that was actually what started, from what I was told, spurred the idea of throwing it, is that nobody in their right mind would ever throw their goal line front out without seeing if we're in our, let's call it, jumbo personnel package. So then it was kind of like, hey, if they have goal line out there, shouldn't we be able to throw the ball? And we're going to get man coverage, which we knew. They're going to play cover zero, which they did. Like, we kind of knew what they were going to do, and we called a play based on that. Again, you go into overthinking. It's like the reality of the play we called, I would say if we ran that play 100 times, 80 times, we probably score a touchdown. 19 times, it's probably incomplete. And one time, it's intercepted. And that's what happened. You know, we roll the dice. If you're me, you know, yeah, they roll out their jumbo or goal line defense. That's fine with me still. I'm like, okay, no problem. We're rolling our jumbo. Mono-a-mono. We have Marshawn Lynch, and we have some big boys up front playing O-line. Like, let's put it in their hands. But obviously, it didn't happen. And obviously, I'm sitting here talking to you with one Super Bowl instead of two.
That's right. Yeah, I didn't listen. I didn't want to go down that road. It was on a platter for me. Someone had to step up these other
yeah,
two.
Yeah, that's fair.
Turn their mics
I
off.
Felt like I needed to go. I've never actually done this. But you ever hear those guys go to, like, is it ayahuasca in some weird country and just clear the demons out of your soul?
Right.
That's what it felt like for a while, man.
Yeah. Yeah, that
was. Unfortunately, didn't go that route, but I feel like that might actually have been more healthy than the route that I did go.
Right. I think
you was get gooned every night for a month.
Exactly. You nailed it. But not in the sense of, like, fun going out getting gooned either. It was like, come home, get bombed, and play video games and cry about what just happened.
It was right there for you. It was right there, the goal yeah. line package. Anyway, you got one, buddy. That's all that matters. You got that one ring. You guys did it.
No doubt.
With Luke Wilson. So, are you speaking of Brady? I mean, I think it was Rob Ninkovich this week peddling the idea that maybe he would shut it down this season. This could be the end of the road. Can you picture that in any scenario? Even if they lose, let's say they get crushed by LA. Can you picture a scenario where Tom Brady is not returning next season?
I can't, just because I feel like Tom is one of the few veteran guys, and I've heard this, and it kind of happened to me, and obviously I'm not trying to compare myself to Tom, but when I was younger, people would say this to me all the time. They'd be like, hey, when you get older, if you don't get injured, you're not going to retire because of playing. And I was like, oh, that's kind of weird. Like, what did they mean? They're like, you're going to retire because you're sick of the meetings. You know, the locker room isn't the same when you're 40 years old as it is when you're 24. There's just different things in your life that you kind of want to do, and you don't want to put up with a lot of the BS. It's probably the same as anyone in any job anywhere. You know, the longer you're there, the more some of the little things start to bother you. And the only way I could see that is if, you know, the Antonio Brown thing, if the locker room was that toxic this year and they've done a good job of, you know, covering up, maybe. But I have a hard time believing that if you spend that many years under Bill Belichick's regime in New England, that anything from here on out is going to be that miserable.
That's probably true. It seems like it's in a better situation. And he's got Bruce Arians down there. And Bruce isn't smacking him in the head, running on the field and giving him a smack like he did to the safety. And he got fined $50,000 for that.
Well, under the radar, Hazy, too. Like, that should have been big news, especially in 2022.
Like, would that be a Players Association thing, Luke, where someone at the PA would say, you better find this guy. He just walked on the field and smacked his own player in the head.
I mean, I think so. And to be honest with you, I don't really think – I think the NFL now has moved to a point of there's a coach-player relationship, and you can have dictators as coaches – but there's a certain level of respect. Like, we're not high school kids. You know, when I see that, I think of me playing high school football. And at that level, it's like you discipline, you know, you're still young enough and dumb enough that you get disciplined like you're an animal. Like, these are grown men, and it's just like, again, I kind of go back, and I don't want to dog Bruce Arians here. I don't know the guy. But it's like, how many times do you think Bruce Arians has probably spoke about to his team, hey, you got to keep your composure, don't do anything dumb, don't do this, you know? And then the moment of truth comes for some of these coaches, and that's how they act. You know, I'm dogging a lot of NFL coaches right now, but I'm not going to lie. I find a lot of NFL coaches to be a little hypocritical when it comes to things like that.
With Luke Wilson, the one game that's getting the least amount of attention is the first one. That'll be Cincinnati at Tennessee. There's a chance Derrick Henry is going to return. It feels like he's trending in that direction. The Titans are the number one seed. Yet I find Burrow way more compelling. I think the story is Burrow and Chase. Do you agree with that? Do you think Joe Burrow trumps any other storyline that Tennessee can bring to the table?
I believe the storyline is that, and I have a very hard time picking this game. I think it's going to be very close. In my head and in my heart, I actually like Cincinnati. But on TV, I've been picking Tennessee to win this game just because Tennessee all year has barely been spoken about, and they were the one seed without Derrick Henry.
Right.
And it's like, at this point, they might not have the star power that's, you know, they don't have the Joe Burrow, Jamar Chase kind of ordeal going on. But at the same point, they're finding ways to win. Vrabel, one of my very good friends, is on the practice squad. I spoke to him a couple weeks ago. And he was saying that everybody loves Vrabel, playing for him. He's a tough coach, but just like a guy that you want to go out and grind for and win for. So I think as a team, Tennessee is just playing very, very well. They've been under the radar all year. And I'm gonna roll with them. I think they're going to find a way to get it done, kind of like they've done all year.
Chiefs-Bills, we were talking yesterday, could this be like a shootout, 60-plus points combined? Generally, when that's the anticipation, the defense shows up. Is that possible with these two quarterbacks and these two offenses?
Definitely possible. I think the game's really going to come down to whoever wins the turnover battle. Whoever wins this turnover battle is going to win this game. And if it's even, I'm going to definitely give the nod to Kansas City. But, you know, you looked at earlier this year, you know, there people are finding ways to pick off Patrick Mahomes. And that's the reality of the situation, that if Buffalo can – I don't think they're going to necessarily slow Kansas City down. You know, they might stop me here and there, but Kansas City's going to score. They're going to score against anybody in this league. But if they can find a way to kind of manipulate different looks, you know, disguise some coverages and force Mahomes into making one or two mistakes and capitalizing on those mistakes. You know, if they got to pick, they got to make it. I think Buffalo's got a shot. But, again, I'm rolling with Kansas City, but I do think this is another one that's going to be very, very close.
Can't wait for it, man. They're going to be a blast. Enjoy all four games. We'll do it again this time next week. Thank you, buddy.
Appreciate you guys.
Luke Wilson, our TSN NFL analyst, former NFLer, one-time Super Bowl champ, went to the Super Bowl twice.
Well, you went there, man. He's awesome, but you went there. I wasn't sure you were going to go there.
We were in my basement watching that play. Luke Wilson was
out
there.
Yeah, we were. That's right. All of us were there.
That's right. The man cave, we were downstairs watching the game,
man. And
still in shock that he threw that ball on the goal line. And what a play. What anticipation. What a pick. And, hey, listen, man, it was right there on a platter for me. What am I supposed to do? So someone had to bring it up. So I brought it up.
I wasn't sure you were going to go there. You're like, ah, you know.
I was curious, though. Like, everything he broke down there makes sense, though. Like, the Pats jumped the gun and set the goal line, you know, defense
out there.
Yeah. Which, you talk about mind games. Was that what they were doing? Like, hey, who knows? I mean, Belichick, I guess we'll never know, but it worked out, clearly. Wordle after dark. This is something we've established earlier this afternoon. Overdrive Sports Wordle became a thing. Noodles is an absolute phenom for anyone that missed. You are a phenom. Oh, am I wrong? You're the host. I mean,
his nickname isn't Noodles anymore. It's Nurdle.
Nurdle.
No, I don't like the game.
Look at this guy, Nurdle. Look at Nurdle.
Nurdles Jennings.
I love it.
Ken Nurdle.
Ken Nurdle. That's your new handle. So I'm going to battle with Ken Nurdle. I got to find a W here because I got crushed.
We got a two-pack for you.
Two-pack of Wordle After Dark. We'll get to that next. All right, it is time. It is time.
There is always time for a new segment called Wordle After Dark. One more
horny
Wordle.
Okay. I like
it. All right. Let's do it.
So Wordle has got to be a five-letter word. We've played this game just today, but we're very familiar with it. You guys got to guess the word, kind of the sporting angle, a bit of a clue. You guys got to guess the four-letter word. Our boy Ken Nurdle
is five-letter word.
Ken Nurdle. Okay. Look, he even knows that.
Well,
He's just dialed in.
I'm making sure. I was like, is it four or five?
We don't want to pump your tires too much, but here we go.
All right.
Five-letter word for how Carlo Colaiacovo will react if Buffalo loses.
Crazy.
I was going to say bang, but if they lose, it can't be bang.
No, it's not bang.
Okay. Okay. Bang with two G's, just for the record. Bang with two G's.
What a moron.
Bang
with
two G's.
Come on,
Ken Nurdle. I need
No, he's going to throw
it. What is the first word you said?
I said crying. Right? No.
That's six. Crying.
You said crazy.
Crazy.
Oh, yeah. Crazy, yeah.
Crazy.
First two letters are the same in this particular five-letter word.
Craps.
Crying.
Morons. I can't take it.
If they lose.
Could an emotional one
cried?
Same families, just
I'm struggling. Nurdle,
it's cries, C R I E S. Cries,
okay. Nurdle,
the love
cries.
Gracious, come on,
pretty Nurdle. Close. Got that.
Yeah, no, Nurdle's. He didn't get it. He said cried, and the word was cries.
Okay,
five letter word to describe the current state of Major League Baseball.
Flux.
Messy.
That's four.
Awful. Nerdle.
Give me a letter.
Give us a letter.
First letter is S.
Stink.
Stuck.
Wrong.
Stuck.
You're a moron.
T-S-T.
Stale.
Still.
Same family.
Stall? Stall.
Yes, yeah, stall.
There you go. All right. Okay, I'm in the game.
Not going to lie, though, not your best event, Hazy B.
No, it's not.
Get your damn act together.
I'm struggling. Is this one you want to host permanently, or would you ever want to put on the shoe on the other foot?
I'll never do it. I will. I'll walk out of this office. I'll host, but I will never play Wordle.
It's not
2022
that fun of a game.
Positive, but I'll never play Wordle.
I. You know what? We got to. We'll try it again because I think we should do – Hayes and I could team up against, like, Myrtle and Jonas or something because I saw Myrtle tweeting at Overdrive saying, how is this played on the air or something?
Yeah, so. It's not the equivalent of Wordle. I mean, it's effectively a – you know, it's a fill-in-the-blank where the word has been chosen and you have to figure out what the grappler has chosen, you know.
Yeah.
What did Ricky Fowler do in the first round at the American Express?
Shart.
Yes, correct.
Yes, sir!
You did. That is correct. Look at you, Ken Nurdle on the right. That was quick. That was very quick.
Very quick.
I'm worried about your
boy. By the way, shout out to Rick, because only a Rick could send in this tweet where he wrote in, at Overdrive, irate is six letters.
Rick.
No, it's not Rick.
Yeah.
That's why your name is Rick, and you have a white mustache with orange stains above the lip.
And you think that
irate has six letters.
Yeah.
Get your damn act together.
Rick thought he got one on us there.
He did. He thought he pulled a fast one.
Yeah. Rick's probably punched out of work at about 2 o'clock, and by the time we started playing, Rick
he had 12 Molson exports, and he's just half cut.
I love it.
Yeah, shout out to Rick. So anyway, yeah, we'll see. The Leafs are back in action this weekend. They're at the Islanders, I believe, right? I think they're playing on Saturday night in the island. On the island.
Then they're going to come home to 50 screaming fans. It's going to be awesome.
Yeah, there's not going to be anyone in the stands until February 21st, I think. They might go to half capacity, and then 3 weeks after that, I guess we're supposed to celebrate that in 2 months we might get back to a full
guaranteed
full building
doesn't
again.
Happen. Just morons.
Yeah, I don't – that's what's frustrating is you don't know – it's very difficult to get a read on the checks and balances and who's – what is the determining factor – for the 3 week intervals being good enough to say, all right, now we're moving to 75% or 100%. No one knows, you know, they're just 2 years into this. We're doing the 3 week interval and we'll let you know and we'll see how it's going. And who knows? We'll
either
see.
Way.
See what
we'll
happens.
Get it sorted. We'll see. We'll get it sorted. You know what? All you have to look forward to is if it'd be open by golf season. That's all you guys care about, right?
Well, I'm golfing regardless. If he tries to say, we're golfing.
We're golfing.
Although I think the simulators and stuff are going to be open on the 31st of January. I think that's opening again at 50%. So some indoor golf will be available. And, yeah, hopefully by the spring it's go time. It better be. I mean, come on. We're 2 years into this. We know that.
Agreed.
We should know that by now. All right. So more on the Leafs. The Raptors tomorrow. Looking ahead. Picks tomorrow. Al's brother will be in here. Team Al Dog up against Team Hayes. We are out of here. Enjoy your evenings. Enjoy the games tonight. We're back tomorrow at
Wordle for Life, 4 p.m.
We'll chat then.